It's good to see you this morning. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to my wife. I managed to leave our house today without actually saying Happy Mother's Day to my wife. Yeah, not so good. As soon as I got in the truck and was on the road and was like, fail right there. So Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all you moms. And, I really encourage you to communicate if you have a mom. To communicate with her today and tell her that you love her and Happy Mother's Day. And maybe there's somebody in your life that has maybe meant a lot to you. Maybe they've almost kind of been like a mom, even without being mom. And maybe today's a good day for you to call them and just let them know that you love them and tell them how much they meant to you. Just think about that today and take today as an opportunity to do things like that. A couple of quick things just want to mention. I really don't want to do much announcements or anything, but I do want to mention to you No Other Name group that we here a while back, we were promoting a concert that was going down in Englewood and in East Nashville, and that didn't happen because of a death in the family of one of the members of the group. And many of you know Chad. Chad's the one on the far right there. No Other Name's just been taken off over the past year and being played on radio and all kinds of stuff. They have a concert next Sunday night. They're basically making up where they didn't get to have the one that we had promoted before. Next Sunday night at Englewood in East Nashville, 6:30. If you can go, it would be awesome. Support Chad. Chad's actually here this morning. They're actually not on the road this morning. Chad's even been helping out this week in Ashland City. Let's go, support them and love on them. If you've never heard them, it's one thing to hear them on a CD. CD is great. Their recording is actually pretty incredible. But live is where they shine. They are unbelievable, and not unbelievable just because they are talented, although they are very talented, but unbelievable because they are obviously about the glory of God and about giving Him credit, it's awesome to get to see how God is using them, and Chad, we're excited for you guys, and we look forward to next Sunday night, so just a word about that. Just to mention this to you, there are a bunch of trainings going on this week. This is kind of got like a little list, and I'll go through a couple of these. They actually called me yesterday afternoon and said, "Can we get together more trainings like what you just did at 24 on Friday night? If you missed the one on Friday night, these are basically going to be the same training done by some of the same people." So I know that tomorrow night there's one happening at Jolton First Baptist Church. You see that there, 6 p.m. And then the two that they asked me to help get together, and we're spreading them out to just try to keep people from, thinking it's about one church or, whatever. But Tuesday night, Ashland City United Methodist, 6:30. And then Thursday night, we're doing one at the Donation Center, which is Fred's, used to be the Fred's, next to Food Lion and Tractor Supply. Never mind. I just won't even make any jokes about it. Tractor Supply. That's going on Thursday night, also at 6:30. Listen, it's been a week. I'm sure that many of you have had a wild week with this. By the way, there's a bunch of those going on in Clarksville. They'll be on the screen after service. You can check that. Those there. I'm so scatterbrained this morning. I have been this way, I don't know, for the last couple of days, I feel like. And for me to honestly even put together a message for this morning was, it's been one of the tougher messages for me to put together, just because my head is just going a million different directions. Whatever comes out, I hope that it's to the glory of God this morning. But before we even get into that, I just want to say a quick word about serving. And a lot of people are wanting to help and do things this week. Obviously, with everything going on, please, if you can, help this week. And in fact, let me encourage you in this way. Get in the mindset that we're going to need to help for a long time. This is not going to be some quick race that we're going to run and we're going to charge the mountain and it's going to be over. That day will come, but it's not going to come for a while. We need to get in the mindset that this isn't a sprint, but this is a marathon. This is going to take months, probably at least a year, to help get people taken care of and helped out. And it is my thought, and I believe that Scripture teaches us that we are to lead out in loving others and in serving others, and we're going to do that. And so our leadership's meeting tomorrow night. You can be praying for us about this, about some organizational things, about how to try to help organize some of the stuff that's going on, not just within 24 Church, but within between the other churches of our community, working with the Chamber of Commerce and all this stuff. There's just so much going on. And honestly, our area has just never had anything like this. Where they've had to come together, where they've had to organize things, and it's been very disorganized because of that. And so be praying for us, and maybe we can help with some of that. This week has been incredible in many ways. I have seen so many of you serve and just give your hearts this week, loving people that you do not know, which we're actually going to talk about in just a minute. And it's just been awesome to watch God work through so many of you doing so many different things. Let me just say a word about this. They really need help at the donation center. They really need help at the Bethesda Center. This is stuff like sorting clothes, handing out waters, helping people sign in, whatever it may be. I know this is not the most glorious of work, but it glorifies God. That is where people are going right now for help, are those places. And so everything is funneling to that and through that. And I've told them that we would have a sign-up sheet, and we do. When you leave the service today, if you go out to the welcome counter out there in the foyer, you can go up to that counter. There should be some sheets out there that you can sign up for different times to work at the donation center. If you've got some time to give this week, they'll take you for shifts. They're doing shifts from like 8 to 2 and 2 to 6 every day. Or they'll take you all day. Or they'll take you for an hour if you can give that. So, you know, maybe you got to work, but maybe you can go by after work and you can call them ahead of time. Because part of the deal is they just don't know who's coming when, and so we're trying to help them with that. And so if you can help serve, you know, by all means, go out there. You're going to have a huge opportunity to get to love on some people through doing that stuff. So just don't be afraid to do that. I know everybody kind of wants to like jump in and like go tear out drywall and some of that stuff. And that stuff, some of that stuff is happening. Some more of that stuff will come. But you know, just hang in there. By the way, the trainings that are happening, the training we did Friday night, the trainings that are happening this week, the Chamber of Commerce of Cheatham County and the other churches of Cheatham County are all on board with saying we want people that are going to lead crews in going out and doing stuff. We want them to have gone through one of these trainings. And if you're gonna be in a you know, leading a crew from 24, you're gonna have to have gone through one of these trainings. They're only an hour and a half, and I'll just be honest with you. There's some stuff that I learned on Friday night that absolutely just scares me. I couldn't believe some of the stuff that we heard. You know, just things that just weren't even on my radar to be thinking about. And of course, these are from people that have done this stuff before, and so they have some wisdom to share. So if you can, please, please, please go through one of these trainings. It's free. You know, it just makes sense. Try to get one of those. Again, the list of that stuff will be on after the service, and you can jot that stuff down again if you need to. That being said, also, I just got told a few minutes ago that the shelter at Sycamore is closing tomorrow. There is one family that is in need of some place to go. They don't have it figured out. They are a family of three, and they have three dogs, is what I was told. If you have a lead, if you know of something, if you have, I don't know, I'm just putting it out there. If you have a way to help that family figure that out, don't come see me. Go to the welcome desk right after the service and see Jason Pennington. He's going to be out there, and just go talk to him about that, and he will help you help them, and that would be awesome. So if not, you know, at least be praying for them. So a lot of stuff's going down. It's been a crazy, crazy week, and I'm sure it has been for many of you. I've heard stories of many of you helping your family members and friends here and in this area and in other areas that have been affected by all this stuff. And you know, please know that if you need help with something. We want to help you. Even if it's, you know, manpower or whatever, all we can do is, you know, at least try to send out messages and say, you know, hey, these people are leaving this spot at this time to go do this. They need help. You know, we'd be glad to try to help you with that stuff. Just let us know and communicate with us. Watch the Facebook stuff. Watch the email stuff. I'll be honest with you, the social media stuff, Facebook stuff is where it's happening the fastest because we can be on the scene and update it from a phone, and it's just done. And so get on our Facebook stuff. Get on 24s. Honestly, I can't even update 24s from my phone. I'm updating mine constantly. You're welcome to follow me just for that reason. You know, I won't turn you down as my friend. Okay, so it's been a really awesome week, but at the same time it's been a very trying week, and I want to encourage you in this way as well. Don't neglect your family during this. You know, for me, I jumped in first of the week, well, Sunday, when we first became a shelter, and just day and night went full guns. Until finally Thursday morning or Wednesday night late, somewhere in there, I realized that I just really hadn't even paid attention to my family hardly at all. And so took my wife out on Thursday night, and then we spent the day with our girls on Friday during the day and had birthday parties with one of them and all that kind of good stuff. So don't feel bad for being good husbands and wives. Don't feel bad for being good moms and dads. You still have got to take care of your families, and you still got to take care of yourself. We've got to think of this thing as like a marathon. We're going to have to run this for a while. And honestly, this is one of the biggest opportunities our church has ever had to get to love on people in our community. And so we're going to take every opportunity that we possibly can, but I don't want people burning out. We need you for the long haul. So be thinking and praying in that direction. Let me pray for us this morning, and we'll get into this. God, I love you. And God, I pray, Lord, that that would be evident, Lord, in my actions and in my words. And God, I pray, Lord, that your love would be perfected in me. And God, I pray, Lord, that that you would use me. God, I pray, Lord, that you would use our church. God, I pray, Lord, that through your word you would challenge us, Lord, to be led in how we are to love others. God, lay it on our hearts, what that looks like, and guide us and direct us through it. In your name I pray. Amen. We're talking out of the book of 1 John today. Not John, but 1 John. There toward the end of your Bible if you want to open it up and turn to it. John, 1 John chapter 4, and we'll get to that in a second. We're talking about love today. And we're talking about God's love specifically, which is pretty cool because it's pretty much the best love you can get. It's one of those things that I think so many of us, you know, we've heard, you know, things about God is love and, you know, God's love is great and, you know, all those things that, you know, I think that, you know, we hear so much of that from time to time that we just put it away and we don't spend a lot of time thinking about it and meditating on it and asking questions about what does that really mean in my life. And, you know, I found myself this past Monday morning down on Elizabeth Street in Ashland City, going just to help some people. You never know what you're getting into when you get into stuff. And we get this phone call. I get this phone call from one of the guys in our church who had just been at a meeting at the courthouse in Ashland City where they had just met with the Corps of Engineers, and they had just told them, we're going to release water out of the dam at Old Hickory, and at some point before the day is over with, Main Street will be underwater 5 feet in Ashland City. And I'm standing on a street, in the middle of the street, literally, standing on this street. And we've been just kind of like checking on people and, you know, trying to move some people out of a house that water was right beside it. And I start to look around and realize I am on the riverside of Main Street. And all of these people and all of these houses are clueless that this is about to happen. Now, it ended up not being that bad. It ended up not ever getting to that extreme level, which thank goodness that it didn't. But in that moment in time, I found myself just going, where are these people that know this? And why aren't they running up and down the streets, knocking on all these doors, telling all these people? And I'll never forget the house that we walked up to that was just a couple of houses down from this house that had water already in its yard, and the river's moving this away. And I was down there at the time with Nathan Loxley and Josh Hudgens, two guys from our church, and they had already gone to this house, and I kind of walked up behind them, and they had already knocked on the door and introduced themselves and said, "Ma'am," you know, and told her what was going on, and that it was even thought that, you know, it was possible that, you know, this could happen as quickly as within an hour, maybe even 30 minutes was at one point what, you know, that had been told. And by the time I walked up to the house, she was hysterical. And I peek around through the door, and there she stands, and she is crying. And she is surrounded by four children. And it was just one of those moments, and she is so, so upset. She's honestly irrational. And she's almost screaming, and she's saying, I'm just not going to leave. I'm just not going to leave. I can't leave my house and I can't leave my stuff. I'm just going to stay. And we, you know, tried to let her get it kind of out of her system, and somewhere in there she said, I just don't know what I'm gonna do. And we looked at her and we said, "Ma'am, here's what you're gonna do. You're gonna get your kids. Gonna get them some clothes, get a few personal items from the house, and you're gonna all get in the car out there in the driveway, and you guys need to lock your house up, and you need to get out of here." And it was one of those moments where, again, she's still so irrational, she's really just not seeing this as an option. And so we left, went to a neighbor's house, helped them for a minute, just checking on them, came back. By the time we came back, she's packing a few things and getting the kids in the car, and they're leaving. And the word that was coming to my mind was the word rescue. And I just thought, you know, we need more people here in this street right now rescuing these people from their homes. And in that moment, and this just doesn't happen all the time, I don't just always think like this, but in that moment, I asked myself the question, "God, why am I here right now? What are you trying to say to me? What are you trying to show me? And what are you wanting me to share out of this experience with the people of 24 Church?" And it just became evident to me that, you know, it's in moments like this sometimes that's when we choose to start loving people. And I just thought, you know, that's not supposed to be it. We're not supposed to wait till we get a phone call that in 30 minutes they're releasing a dam full of water and it's going to bury people if we don't help them get out. That we shouldn't wait to want to love on people for those phone calls. And so this week I've been looking at Scripture, and I've been thinking a lot about God's love for us. And in doing so, God has shown me some Scripture about God's love and about our love for others. And it's this passage out of 1 John chapter 4. And it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it says this. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." This passage is powerful. And it says many things as we'll study through it, you'll see. And it said many things to my heart this week as I've looked over it and stared at it many times. You know, that we could understand that, number one, we're supposed to love one another. "Beloved, let us love one another, For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So we can understand that love comes from God, that we are to love one another, and that we can do this because we know God. You know, as it goes on right there, it says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So if we know God, then we love. And so the question that I found myself standing in the middle of the street asking was, okay, God, if we say we know you, where is our love? Where is our love for others? Why do we choose to turn it off and turn it on when it is convenient for us? Why do we wait for phone calls about the dam being opened for us to decide, now, right now, I'm going to love people? Verse 9, it says this, says, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God first loved us. This is important. This is huge. You know, I think for us, so many times we feel like we want to do something to prove our love to God. You know, even those of us who have been Christians for a long time, we get caught up in this whole like trying to earn our salvation. We're like, okay, I'm gonna be better at going to church, and I'm gonna be better at, you know, trying to do this, and this. And we mean well, but sometimes our motive is wrong. Sometimes our motives are more driven in this trying to do this, I want to please God type mentality. And I think some of that comes from us as human beings, you know, where we want to, you know, growing up, we want to please our, you know, our parents. We want to please our father. And especially for those that feel like they were never able to do that, and, you know, whatever, you know, so many things that we go into right there. But the important thing for us to understand is that it is not about us trying to just please God. This is about us loving God. When we do something for someone, it ought to be out of our love for God. Not out of just trying to chalk up another thing on the list. It's not about that. Because if we love God, then we will love one another, because God is love. He first loved us and did so through his Son. It says so. Verse 10, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and that he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That his Son would be the ransom for our sin. That his Son would take on the wrath of our sin, that we would be redeemed through the cross. God loved us so much that he sent his Son to die on a cross. And through that, we're redeemed. It's the only way. Jesus came and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the way. Some of you will say, Chris, that's so close-minded. I don't think so. I don't see it as being close-minded. I see it as understanding that God's Word is God's Word, that Scripture is God's Word that he has given us. That he sent his Son to do something that no one else could do, that none of us could earn. We couldn't do anything about it. He loved us first. I don't see that as closed-minded. I see that as grace and mercy on the fact that, truthfully, we deserve death. And instead, we get offered life. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 12, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. That's unbelievable. I mean, do you catch that? Because, I mean, here we are. We are the complete opposite of perfect. Anyone want to go on record as saying that you're married to the perfect person? Don't do this for brownie points, by the way. God's watching. Anybody married to the perfect person? Anybody have the perfect parent? No perfect parents. Perfect friends? Oh yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah, none of us are perfect. In fact, we're so far away from it. On our best day, we're still not perfect. We're still sinners. We're still falling and trying to get back up. And even though that we're not perfect, the unbelievable thing is that God's love, look at this, God's love is perfected in us. Meaning that His love redeems us, makes us new again, and takes away our sin. This is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I mean, I think that might possibly be one of the most powerful statements ever. When we really look at that, we really understand that. We really get that. And I think that we take that for granted. We take for granted the fact that God took us, that we're not perfect, and did something in us with His love where His love was perfected to show His power, to show that He could, to show how much He loved us. And the truth is that if we love one another, God abides in us. If we love one another, God abides in us. You see, if God's love has been perfected in us, we have the ability to love people with power. Power. It's a perfect love. It's a perfect love. And it's the most powerful love that has ever, ever existed. Because it's God's love. And that's amazing. And we have that. It's like we're walking around with the greatest weapon of all mankind. And we're just choosing not to use it. We're just turning it off most of the time. We're like, oh, you know what? I got a lot going on. I don't have time to use God's love to see if God decides to use it to change people's lives. You know, I'm just so busy. I just don't have much time. I'm just so caught up with myself. I'm just so caught up with collecting my things. And as I've read this week, God's convicted my heart and just said, Chris, what are you doing? Why do you keep getting so caught up in things that are meaningless? When there are people on the streets of Elizabeth Street and Vine Street that don't know you, and instead you're waiting for the phone call to go show them that you love them. Why would we do that? Why would we choose to do that? You say, well, Chris, I didn't choose to do that. We are choosing to do it. We're choosing to do it all the time. We either love people or we don't. God shows His love through the cross, but He also shows His love through us loving others with His love. It's one of the most amazing things. It is, by the way, love God, love people, live gospel. Verse 13. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us, God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us. There's the explanation. There's the explanation. Verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And let me ask you this question. And you've probably heard a pastor ask you this question 50,000 times. And I don't care whether you've heard it 50,000 times. And I don't care if you grew up in church or not. It does not matter. The question is this. Have you ever confessed Jesus as Lord? Have you ever received Christ as your Savior? Because whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. And this morning, I know that there's got to be people here that don't know Christ, but they know a whole lot about religion, and they know a whole lot about the church, and they may know a whole lot about Jesus, but they may not know Jesus. And God wants to know you. God wants to know you. This whole abiding thing is awesome, by the way. And I know that it sounds like it's talking in circles, but it's not. It's not talking in circles. And if you look at it, verse 16, so we have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us, God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God. So God is love, okay? If I had something to put, you know, a bowl here or whatever, so God is love, and then if we abide in him, then we are abiding in love. Okay? We can get that. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So we abide in God, but then also we, over here, God abides in us. That's the Holy Spirit, by the way. Another way that God has shown his love for us is sending the Holy Spirit, that if we receive Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit lives in our heart. God lives in us, helps us fight temptation, helps us have what we see in the spiritual gifts, things like self-control. By the way, if you don't have Christ in your heart, you can't fight against those things. If you don't have God to fight against those things, it's just like a losing battle. We abide in God, and at the same time, God abides in us. So God abides in us, and then we abide in God. So he is in us, and we are in him. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, when you think about that, that's where the peace comes from. That we get from knowing Christ as our Savior. Because the peace doesn't come with like us getting a keychain that says, you're a Christian and now you're going to go to heaven one day. There's peace with that, yes. But the peace that we have in this life comes from the fact that God lives in us and we live in him. And by this, verse 17, by this is love perfected with us. So that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also we in this world. There is no fear, check this out, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We do not have to fear judgment if we know Jesus Christ is our Savior. It's not something we have to worry about. We don't have to wonder what's going to happen. We know. This is God giving us confidence in our salvation. He's saying, look, if you know me, it's good. But he's given us some stuff in this passage of Scripture for us to kind of check ourselves on. And he's saying things like, you know, hey, you got to love your brothers. You can't say that, hey, oh, I'm a Christian and I love Jesus, but then not love people. You got to do both. It's just like the greatest commandment. When the guy asks Jesus and he says, what's the greatest thing? And he says, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. All this stuff. And then he says, and love your neighbor. He answers it with two things. He doesn't differentiate. He says, if you do one, then you're doing the other. If it's real here, then it's real here. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. Do you get that? It's not we love other people so that we can like try to make our church bigger. Or, you know, we love people because, you know, it looks good for my profession. Or we love people because I feel like I owe it to God that I should do that because, you know, no. We just do it because we love God. We just do it because he loved us first. We love because he loved us first. Verse 20, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother. Now we're getting somewhere. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. And he who does not love his brother, whom he has not seen, I'm sorry. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. You know, and just simply put, we either love people or we don't. And unfortunately for so many of us, it takes some kind of a tragedy for us to want to love people. And then we want to rescue them. But the truth is that we can help them, but we can't rescue them. The only real rescuing going on is not done in boats and it's not done with pickup trucks. The real rescuing is done through Jesus Christ and already happened through the cross. God loved us through the cross. He showed his love that way. He showed his love, his perfect love that way. And then he also shows his perfect love again through us in how we love others. And then he showed his love by sending the Holy Spirit who abides in us while we abide in him. And this perfect love, God's love, is made perfect in us when we come to Christ. And I just wonder the same thing that I wondered the other day when I stood in the middle of the street was, you know, even if I could get everybody out of these houses, how many of them have really been rescued? How many of them really know Jesus? And maybe you're here today and maybe you're kind of wondering the same thing. Maybe you're wondering, well, I don't know if I've ever been rescued from myself. In fact, I didn't know that I needed to be rescued from myself. Didn't realize I needed to be rescued from my sin. And the truth is that's it. We do. I need to be rescued from myself and from my sin. And Jesus has already done that in my life, and I can give a testimony to the fact that it changes everything. And the truth is that a sin deserves death. But because of the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross, we can receive grace and mercy and perfect love that will save us. But the thing is that it doesn't just save us for us to have an eternity with God in heaven. It saves us for a relationship with him. Saves us so that God can use us to distribute his love in this world before we leave. And for so many of us today, I'm afraid that we have gotten to a point where we're not concerned with God using His love in our life to love others. And that's what God's interested in today. And there's a whole lot in front of us, you know, with what has just happened over the past week. That's even to go without even being said. So many opportunities will exist for us to show God's love. But I want to ask you this. Are we really God's people that we would say, I'm a follower of Christ, that I love God, but that we would not show His love in everything that we do and everywhere we are? That we would not show God's love at work? That we would not show God's love to the people that we talk to every day? You say, well, Chris, I'm nice to them. I'm not talking about being nice. I'm talking about straight up saying, do you know anything about Jesus? Can I talk to you about what He's done in my life sometime? And we're so afraid of that. We're so afraid that we feel like we've got to have all these answers. And the truth is it's so simple. It's so simple. You know, that if a kindergarten can understand it, and we seem to think that we can't explain it to somebody that's an adult. And the truth is that people don't come to Jesus just because we've been nice to them. Scripture teaches us that they come to Christ from the hearing of the gospel. And if that's true, then at some point somebody has to tell them the gospel. And the gospel is this, that Jesus came to save us on a cross from ourselves and from our sin. And only He can do it. So will we love people? Or will we just help them move their things? And when the flood is over, and in a year or 2 years or 5 years or whatever it's going to be, when all of the cleanup is done, are we going to turn the switch back off? Or are we going to actively pursue as a church loving this community? Are we going to look for ways that God would allow us to love this community outside of the things that we're about to be doing? And are we going to do those in our personal life? Because see, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this morning, I so badly want us to be a people that love God. And because we love God, who first loved us, that we love people, and that we let the perfect love, the most powerful love, work through us in living the gospel and sharing it where they can hear it, and sharing what God has done in our lives. It starts with sharing our time. It's going to start with sharing our treasure. Some of us are so blessed in here. We got so much junk. There's so many people that are about to be in so much need. Some of us have bedroom suits in our house that no one ever sleeps on, but maybe once or twice a year, and there's people that are about to not have a thing. And honestly, they're probably going to be a while before they even have anywhere to put it. We need to start praying now about what we're going to give away. Because we're going to give away. We need to give away. We got too much. Every one of us. We got too much. It's time to start giving away. So start praying, asking God, if you dare, ask God what it is, the things that you have, the money, the possessions, the time, the testimony of your life, and offer it up to God. Let Him use it for the glory of His kingdom. Perfect love. Powerful, perfect love. change lives. Because God loved us first, and God is love. Let's pray together. God, I pray that we wouldn't just hear this and go, that was good. But God, I pray, Lord, that we would hear this and that we would begin right now praying as families about how we're going to love others. And not just because of the tragedy of this week, although God, you may use that to get us started and to spur us on and to wet our whistle for what it's like to really begin to love people in your name. But God, I pray, Lord, that we would take it and we would allow your word to change our lives. God, that this would be real to us. That we quit playing games with you and we would say, God, we're in. Use us. Take our stuff. Use it. God, I pray, Lord, if there's one person here this morning that doesn't know you as their Savior, God, I pray, Lord, that they would just be willing to just go and talk to someone at the end of the service. God, that they could know you before they leave today. God, that they don't have to have question about that, that they don't have to wonder about that, but as your scripture shows us, that they can have confidence in knowing that you have saved them. Lord, we love you and we thank you for rescuing us through the cross.